Holy cow, the years just keep sliding by, don't they? How is it March already? But it's not too late to change your life this year. If you're still not in a job you love, stop messing around. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an information technology professional in as little as 4 months, even with zero IT experience. Helping people start an IT career is what we do. Many of our graduates could do little more than turn their computers on and off before they started. Attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week to get the skills and certifications you'll need to start your new career. More than just a school, My Computer Career helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire our students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited and financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon, so go take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. It's not rocket science, it's mycomputercareer.edu. The First Take Your Take podcast is presented by Capital One. This is Banking Reimagined. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Presented by Progressive Insurance, all guests join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. That includes you. We're asking you guys, where does LeBron James stand in the MVP race and why? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 at Jason Fitz is how you tweet me. I love how many of you guys have decided it is clear. The answer to this is clear, and then you all disagree with each other. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. For protection on the road and on the water, see how much you can save in as little as 3 minutes. At 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. It took about 3 minutes last night to realize that LeBron was going to play like a man possessed. The Lakers-Pelicans matchup had everybody talking. As great as Zion was, LeBron goes in for 34, 13, and 12, a triple-double yet again in his 17th season. Now, that creates a lot of conversation that we're having. Where does it put LeBron in the MVP race? But Pelicans coach, head coach Alvin Gentry also chimed in on this discussion.
I'm just amazed that they talk about anybody other than him for MVP. You know, that's what he does. Every team that he's been to, every team that he's gone, have a chance to win the championship. So, you know, to me, I mean, I'm not sure what the definition of MVP is, but he makes everybody on his team better, and it makes it difficult for everybody playing.
Now, this is going to lead to an obvious conversation about what it means for the MVP race moving forward, because Giannis Antetokounmpo with the Bucks has had such a special season. Steve on Twitter says the MVP race has been over since January. We got to remember Giannis putting up these numbers, playing barely 32 minutes on some nights, not to mention he's top five defensively, and his team may well win 70 games. This is not an easy debate. ESPN NBA analyst Kendrick Perkins joined Max and Stephen A. to try and figure out, does LeBron even still have a shot at the MVP award?
He still has a shot. He still has a shot. I'd put Giannis ahead of him, of course, but I think that he still has a shot because LeBron is having an exceptional season. He's missed about three games, but, you know, he's been absolutely sensational, averaging nearly a triple-double. He's got as many triple-doubles, tied for as many triple-doubles in the league as Luka Doncic, if I remember correctly. What he's been doing, and then, you know, as Kendrick said on Get Up this morning, he went into his bag last night with some of the things that he's done. He's 35 years of age. He's in his 17th season, and he's not ready to give anything up yet. He's letting everybody know, I'm still here. My only critique of LeBron James this entire season has been, are you going to show up and do that when you have Kawhi on the opposite side of the ball than you? Because that brother has come to L.A. He's not only come to your city, your town, but your arena and said, excuse me, this is my town now. What are you going to do about that? So my issue with LeBron is one thing and one thing only. I want to see that. The same stuff that you've shown against Luka, the same stuff that you've shown against Zion, the same stuff that you've shown against a whole host of folks in the NBA. I want to see you do that with Kawhi, because that's the one person I have not seen you
don't
do that
with
against.
Kawhi.
Yeah, well, you can say that, but what I'm saying is you got a game or two to go in a regular season where you're going to face them. They got that makeup game coming up.
Right.
And obviously we anticipate, this ain't guaranteed, but we anticipate that y'all going to show up in the postseason. The only thing that I could say about LeBron is if you don't show up against that brother, that's going to be the indictment, because what the hell is the excuse? But outside of that, no, he's still in the race for the MVP. The Greek Freak deserves it because Milwaukee has been so sensational, mm-hmm. and they've been dominant. If Milwaukee wasn't so dominant, that would be different. But I got to give the edge to Giannis for now. But LeBron is still right there because the Lakers are the number two seed in the NBA, number one in the West, and he's been balling.
This is why I hate the regular season MVP. You don't know who the best player in the game is until the end of the playoffs. So, but we're talking regular season MVP right now. That's what we're talking. So Giannis, let me get this straight. Giannis is better offensively right now. And when I say better offensively, he's averaging in like barely over 30 minutes a game, 30 points, about 14 boards, 6 assists, a block, and a steal. Okay, wait a minute. PER, which takes all that into consideration, because you can count it well. LeBron has 25 points, but 10 is about. So there's a stat called PER. It's not perfect, but it takes all that stuff into account. Giannis right now, if the season ended today, would have the highest single season PER in history. Better than Wilt, Jordan, or LeBron's best year if it ended today. So he's also super efficient. LeBron's in about 25. That's like a high-end all-star, low-end MVP. Giannis has the highest in history right now. Who's better defensively? And LeBron's had a great defensive season. Like, if you want to add in the extra points for age, sure. But I'm not doing that. I'm not giving him extra points for age. I'm just evaluating him. Been great defensively for a lot of this year. Giannis is a better defensive player at this point. So Giannis is better at offense. Giannis is better at defense. And then you say, well, LeBron sprinkles this magic pixie dust on his team. Chemistry, keeping the team together. Well, that's verifiable. Let's see how the team is doing. Oh, LeBron is second best record in the league. But you know who has the first best record in the league by 6 games? Giannis. He's the MVP.
I'm with Stephen A. Smith on this one, Max. And one thing that you left out, and it's crazy to me, because when LeBron James was in the East, the whole thing was that, oh, he's in the East. So we robbed him. Well, I wouldn't say robbed him, but he lost out on 4 MVPs when he returned back to Cleveland, right?
Truth.
He lost out on 4 MVPs. Why? Because he was in the East. During that time, those MVPs went to Western Conference players. Am I correct? Because they were making noise in the West. Steph Curry, they had 73-19.
He's back-to-back MVP. Right. Harden 1-1. Russell Westbrook 1-1, yeah.
KD 1-1 or whatever, right? Here's my thing. Why are we not keeping the same energy for Giannis? He's in the East. The East is weaker. No LeBron James, no Kawhi Leonard. Why is the argument not the same? Now, here it is. LeBron takes his talent to the Western Conference. His team is number one in the West. He's averaging a double-double. He's balling out. Matter of fact, let me throw this stat out to you, Matt. Without LeBron James on the court offensively, the Lakers rank 29th. With them on the court, with LeBron on the court, they rank second in the league.
Well, they don't have a point guard.
But it don't matter, Max. Here's the thing.
Big discrepancy.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. Steve Nash changed the narrative of MVP, and here's why. When he won the MVP, it was like he averaged 17 to 18 points and 13 assists. Kobe Bryant number was better that year. Shaq numbers was better that year. But he was more valuable to the Phoenix Suns. Is LeBron James, you take LeBron James off the Los Angeles Lakers,
Let me go at you on two things with that. Number one, Steve Nash maybe deserved one of those MVPs, not the other, so everyone can stop. Just because they make a mistake one
Shaq
year, don't make another.
Shaq deserved it 1 year than him.
But it still changed the narrative.
I'm with that. So when you say about the East and the Western Conference, you're not wrong. The East has come up in the world. It's much better than it used to be. That's one. Two. The number one thing about LeBron was not the conferences. The reason he wasn't winning MVP is he peaked in terms of playing all the games with high intensity, second championship in Miami. After that, I think LeBron realized, I can't keep my pedal to the metal all regular season and have gas in the tank for the playoffs. So he became a wiser player. In the regular season, some of those dudes you mentioned were as good or better than LeBron. KD, Harden, Steph. Then when the games meant the most, he distanced himself from everyone else. But that doesn't count in the MVP.
Max, just because you're getting louder, that don't make you right. Because
no, I happen to be right.
In 2017, when LeBron was in Cleveland, he averaged 27.5 points, 8.6 assists, 9.1 rebounds. In 2016, he averaged 26 points a game. 8.5 assists a game, mm-hmm. and 8.7 rebounds. Yeah. And in both of those seasons, he shot 55% from the field. So explain to me what you're talking about.
Well, you just gave his stats. Other guys had great stats, too.
No, but you act like he declined in the regular season or something. Like you said, when he came back from Miami, he was, like, basically on chill
mode. When he was in Miami, the second championship, both ends of the floor, he was so obviously the best player in the league, it was ridiculous to talk about anyone else. By the time the years came around that you were talking about, regular season, you had legitimate cases for KD, Harden, and Steph. Regular season. Playoffs, LeBron showed he was different. That's true. He might do that again with the Freak. But if we're talking about a regular season award, the Freak's got it.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, Stephen A. If LeBron was putting up those numbers in the West during that time, would he have won the MVP?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay,
number
then
one.
My point is
number one. Number two, I think this is an important point. The Greek Freak, because of the excellence of the Milwaukee Bucks being 52-8 and being as clear-cut dominant as they have been, not to mention what they have done against everybody that they have played against. Of course, you got to give the Greek Freak the edge at this particular moment in time. The number one indictment against LeBron is that if you look at Houston, you look at Boston, you look at Milwaukee, you look at Toronto, you look at various teams in the NBA, their record, when you go out there, when the top eight teams or so go up against one another.
Right.
The Lakers are struggling. They're like four games under 500 going up against the top tier teams in the NBA. So that's an indictment against LeBron. But ultimately what it comes down to is this. Again, it's really about, is the race over? LeBron has been so great that you can't sit up here and say with 25 plus games to go, oh, it's over. No matter what happens in the next 25 games, you could already crown the Greek Freak as a two-time NBA MVP. No, because LeBron is that close because of the greatness that he is putting on display. And this race, I believe, is going to come down to the wire because of the arguments that can be made against Milwaukee being in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, but Giannis already had such a head start. Wouldn't he have to actually step back for this to become a close race? I want to get your take. Rod in L.A., where do you have LeBron right now in the MVP race and why?
I got LeBron sitting at third. My reason why, first off, again, Western Conference, but I would have Chris Paul looking closer to number one. No other max player on his team at all. That's what all these other teams have, is max players.
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, if you had to start a franchise today, I mean, when you talk about the importance of Giannis for the Bucks, I mean, I'll get that you could put Chris Paul in the conversation of very good in the NBA, but you're putting Chris Paul and his value to them above what Giannis means to the Bucks?
I won't say what he means to the Bucks. I'm just saying if you was to put them on any other teams in their conference, who would still make their team better?
Man, that's,
and without having another max player at all, Chris Paul has clearly made his team better than anybody thought they'd be this year.
Well, that is fair, but I don't think it's MVP level for me. But I love the take on it, Rod. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN News, Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and we're going to keep taking your thoughts on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Where's LeBron stand in the MVP race? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. While we keep getting your take, boy, there is just what feels like a feud brewing at this point between, as much as we've been talking about Giannis, between Giannis and Harden over all of the comments that have come through in the All-Star selection. This is starting to get heated as they continue this back and forth.
Giannis Antetokounmpo makes a joke on the air about, I want to take someone who can pass. I'm taking Kemba Walker instead of James Harden.
I average more assists than him, I think. I don't see what the joke is. But I didn't even see it. You know, I don't pay attention to stuff like that. I just know none of them can mess with me. But I wish I could just run and with 7 feet and run and just dunk. Like, that takes no skill at all. I got to actually learn how to play basketball and how to have skill, you know? I take that any day.
My game is not just power, for sure. I came in, you know, when I was 18, I was 180 pounds, so power through big guys, you know, it's kind of tough. But obviously, I try to work on my game, mid-range shots, threes, you know, to screen and roll faster, make the right pass. There's a lot of things that I'm still adding, and hopefully when I add all those things in my game, you know, I'm a more complete player, and better, I can help my team win games easier.
You got two of the best players in the world defending themselves at this point. I love every ounce of it. And by the way, even if Giannis is only 7 feet tall and dunking, he's still doing it at an MVP level. Everybody knows what he does. Nobody can stop him. So the question is, do either of these guys actually have a point? Stephen A. and Max got into their discussion on it.
I'm going to side with James Harden on this. And the reason why I'm going to side with James Harden on this is because, you know, respect your elders and respect greatness. The fact of the matter is James Harden is great. Let's not disrespect this man. This is James Harden. Since he arrived in Houston, he was the reserve in Oklahoma City. Obviously, they foolishly let him go for $4 million, Miley. $4 million. Mm-hmm. Not $4 million per year.
Yeah.
$4 million. They didn't want to trigger the luxury tax and they lose James Harden.
Nothing.
And obviously he wanted, you know, he wanted to have a role and he was going to have to be the backup to James, to Russell Westbrook. This is James Harden since he's arrived in Houston. Okay. 25.9, 25.4, 27.4, 29, 29.1, 30.4, 36.1. He is now averaging 34.9. Mm-hmm. That is one of the prolific scorers in the history of basketball. You might not like him dribbling the ball too much. You might not like his Hollywood acting skills in terms of him snapping his head back and drawing fouls. You might not like the excessive amount of dribbling or the times that he's such a magician that he could get to the free throw line. But the reality is that we have literally had to have a conversation mentioning Michael Jordan as it pertains to us trying to compare the prolific offensive tendencies of James Harden to anybody in the history of basketball. Now, when you take that into account and you're 6'5", because that's what he is, he's 6'5", mm-hmm. and you can do the things that he can do, handling the ball, shooting the ball, getting to the hole, et cetera, et cetera. And you're the number one option for years and years and years. This kid comes in unquestionably athletic, ferocious, defends, goes after it. Giannis is everything that you say, Max, and then some. This kid is special. He's the future. It's an exhibition all-star game, and you said we were just looking for whoever James Harden was guarding. Ouch. Now,
was it true or not?
Well, listen. Well, of course it was true because he's saying that what they were doing. He was talking about their strategy. What I'm saying to you is we've acknowledged that James Harden's been underrated defender, particularly in the post yep. against guys or whatever. But what James Harden is saying, you 7 feet tall. It's real easy for you to say some of those things, but what God has blessed you with in terms of your size, mm-hmm. all right? I've had to develop these skills and this ability to get to this point. I love the Greek Freak and he can ball. But to sit up there and to say that about James Harden, I thought James Harden had every right to clap back at him and remind him, yo, wait a minute here. What am I doing?
You know what's wrong with that? I agree with you. Harden, in certain respects, is underrated. He's underrated, like, as a defender, as a team player. Oh, he shoots so much. That's what his team needs. When his team needs him to shoot less, he shoots less.
By the way, he can pass his butt.
I agree. I think Harden is underrated as a team player. But since when does a player that dominant, right, need pity points? Since when do we need to say, take it easy on him?
Pause. It's pity point, Max, if you say it on your own. If you're minding your business and somebody plays a clip, well, you know, we were just looking for whoever he was guarding.
Okay, let me ask
That's disrespectful.
Let me ask you something. Would a player dare say that about Kobe Bryant in Kobe's prime?
No.
Would they dare say it about MJ?
Kobe was an elite defender in his prime, and so was MJ.
Okay, so they wouldn't say it, would they?
But you're missing the point. I'm getting to them. He's minding his business, Max. And the guy just said, it's not like Milwaukee it's not like Milwaukee just played Houston. Okay? No, Max, it's an all-star game. And you said, and everybody enjoying themselves is festive other than the damn cold weather in Chicago. Don't get me started with that. And you're minding your business and somebody plays a clip. Well, we were just looking for whoever.
But what does that tell you?
It's very disrespectful.
But they wouldn't have said it to MJ. They wouldn't have said it to Kobe. Nobody.
Let me ask you a question.
What are you saying? They don't respect him on that level?
No,
is that what you're trying to say?
I'm saying, mm-hmm. where does the disrespect come from? Does it come from the defense or does it come from the fact he doesn't have the respect the champions
all right,
get?
First of all,
because with the chips on the line, he hasn't done it.
First of all, here's what you're missing. I could bring up and I could ask you this question about Luka Doncic, although yep. I won't because he's only in his second year, or a plethora of other stars who aren't known as elite defenders. Were their names brought up?
Why not?
Well, I'm just saying, I'm asking you. The point is that their names weren't brought up. I'm saying guys that we know don't defend. Why you bring up that guy? Because if I'm James Harden, that's what I'm saying. Why you bring me up? What's the reason for it?
They don't fear him.
They don't fear a lot of guys.
Well,
they don't fear a lot of guys.
My point is, if you are the alpha of the league, people think twice about talking about you, right? What this shows, the lack of respect that Harden is afforded right now, in spite of him being one of the greatest regular season players of all time and an underrated defender and team player at this point. I want to emphasize that. People are like, oh, Harden does it. He's not a selfish player. That's the system that's built around him. When he's asked to do different things, he does. The point is, why him? Why does Giannis go at him?
That's what I'm asking.
It's not just because they're in an MVP race. What I'm saying is, Harden does not get the respect the champions get because he isn't one
yet. He is not the Giannis.
Right. So he's saying, you're not above me.
First of all, don't break down basketball like you know something we don't, because that's not true. The point
What's
of the
that
basketball,
got to do with anything? Because you're asking my opinion. But that's what, my
but
opinion.
And what I'm saying, you didn't answer the question. The point is, you're talking about a guy that was, I mean, you disrespected him. There's plenty of guys in the league that can ball that aren't good defenders. Why did you, and they're not champions. And they're not champions. But the issue in question is, why would Harden clap back? You're saying why would Harden clap back? Did you not point to, in terms of Harden being defensive? I'm like, wait a minute. He's supposed to just stand idly by and you minding this business and you're going to be, well, we just went after whoever he was guarding. It's like, damn, there's a whole bunch of dudes out there.
I would have preferred it if James Harden would have talked about all the stuff he did, leave Giannis alone.
First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're asking you guys to tell us, where's LeBron stand in the MVP race? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're going to take some more of your take coming up. But also, looks like we're already getting the third fight between Wilder and Fury. So what chance did the panel give it that we could get a different outcome this time? You'll hear from them. But first, let's get to some straight talk. You know what a full court press in basketball is, right? It's full defensive coverage with no holes. That's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best networks, same as the big carriers, but for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, saving you up to half the cost of big carriers. There's no contract. You get full court coverage. It's half the cost. That's Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Get the Straight Talk on Wilder Fury 3 next. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys hang out with us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. In light of everything that's been discussed on First Take today, we're asking you, where's LeBron stand in the MVP race? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We've heard everything from clear-cut winner to clear-cut third place. You can also tweet me, at Jason Fitz. Remember, if you're going to tell me where he belongs, you also got to tell me why. I'm going to tell you to tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. Get you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters presented by ADT. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Mina Kimes always doing incredible work there shamelessly. At the end of the week, when you tune into the Daily, you'll hear my voice. So all the more reason to hang out, as I'll be getting to do a little bit of work with the Daily later in the week. In the meantime, we'll get back to some of the thoughts on your take, some of the thoughts on LeBron. But you know Stephen A. and Max are going to have plenty to say about Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. That's right. We just got the second match of this, and we're all still singing American Pie in our heads. But before we can even let it process, we find out we're getting a third fight, and that third fight is right around the corner. So now that we know that the third fight's coming so quickly, the question is, what chance are we giving Wilder when he takes on Fury? Max and Stephen A. debated it today.
He does not have much of a chance, Deontay Wilder. He has a puncher's chance because Deontay hits with supernatural force. But that's it, Stephen A. It's a puncher's chance. Let's look at the first two fights. You could really make the argument that Deontay won two rounds out of 19. The rounds he knocked Tyson Fury down in. And what happened in those two rounds? Tyson Fury got up. Tyson Fury said he was 50% of himself when they fought the first time, because after he beat Vladimir Klitschko for the championship, he went into a depression, drug use, obesity, suicidal ideation, all kinds of stuff. He comes out of that, fights two tune-ups against no names, and then fights Wilder. He said his father said, Tyson Fury's father said, before the fight with Wilder, son, he's gonna destroy you. What are you doing? It's gonna take two rounds. And that version of Tyson Fury outboxed him 10 out of the first 11 rounds, and then got hit with Deontay's knockout punch in the 12th, flat on his back, rose up. People were calling him the Undertaker to take the fight to Deontay the rest of that round. So He said going into the rematch, if he couldn't beat me when I was 50% of myself, what's he going to do when I'm 100%? And he told everyone what he was going to do. He said, I'm going to come after him and rough him up and beat him up. I put on extra weight to do it. And Stephen A. did exactly that. Tyson Fury has only ever told people exactly what he was going to do before the fight and then went out and did it. And in this case, beat him as a boxer, beat him as the slugger. Any which way you want to slice it, Stephen A., what this fight boils down to is the good big man versus the good little man. I know Deontay's 6'7", 230, but next to Tyson Fury, he's the little man. And when the little man's best shot is a big punch and the big man's got everything else, good luck.
Well, first of all, I think that, how can I put this? I think your breakdown is fair, but in the same breath, I think you're sort of being unfair to Wilder. Let me explain. Wilder is a knockout artist. I believe that he'd probably lose the second, you know, if depending on when he fight. I thought if he took a break, let Tyson Fury fight Anthony Joshua for first take on the winner. I think he needs more time to recover from what happened to him. You could see him on social media. You talk about the king, and your king is here, and, you know, I'll be back to reclaim my crown and all of that stuff. And to do something so immediate, I think could potentially be a mistake. I wouldn't favor him to beat Tyson Fury, but I got love for Deontay Wilder. Let me say this to you. Here's a couple of things I think you're taking into consideration and why I think you're not being fair to Wilder. Number one, you acknowledge that he's improved his boxing. That's what you said. Teddy Atlas said he can't box, really. He can
slug. He's an underrated boxer, actually.
Okay, but that's what you say. Yep. That's what you say. Fair enough, okay? So we have to take that into consideration. We also have to take into consideration the level of focus and seriousness that he has, because if you drop a dude twice in the first fight and you almost put him to sleep in the 12th round of that first fight, you come into the second fight, dare I say, a little bit too cocky, a little bit too aloof, thinking that you could, you know, you go walk through this dude and you gonna take him out. Even after losing a fight, what did Deontay Wilder say? He didn't hurt me, my legs were just going or whatever. None of us are buying it because we saw what happened. We're sitting ringside, but nevertheless, that's what he says. We gotta take that into consideration and the fact that he might be more focused this time than ever before because it's the first defeat of his career. Also, Max, big thing, and I want to emphasize this point. I am in no way wishing this. I wish Tyson Fury nothing but the best. I like Tyson Fury. I think he's a marketable guy, and I really applaud what he has done for boxing.
Both guys are very easy to like.
Both guys are very easy to like. Let me say this. The last time we raved about Tyson Fury is when he beat Vladimir Klitschko, right? Max Kellerman, I got the thing right in front of me right here, his record. That was on November 28th, 2015. What happened after that?
He fell into a depression.
There you go. After victories, you never know. To assume that Tyson Fury is going to be the same guy that he was last Saturday night, not this past Saturday night, but Saturday night before that, we never know because the level of discipline and focus that you can see, that he's right. He's been to hell and back. There's no reason. I'm certainly not wishing it for him. You never, ever know. But the point that I'm trying to make is that he's been through so much. The Tyson Fury that you see one fight, you might not see in the next fight. You combine
fair
that
point.
With Wilder. Hell, anything could happen.
That's a fair
point
about Tyson Fury.
I think you should elevate
Fury.
Wilder's chances because of that, is
That's
what I'm
a
saying.
Fair point about Tyson Fury. I would counter and say, in fact, I think he's stronger mentally and emotionally having gone through what he went through.
Yeah. Right.
I think he's less likely to repeat it and came
weakness,
out a better man.
But I'm not saying
no, but
weakness.
You're saying, hey, it happened before. It could happen again because that's in him somewhere.
Or he could be aloof because he's confident
now
because of what he did.
Why we're doing this fight again.
Because it was so one-sided, right?
And it was so one-sided.
Money. The answer's money. Everyone has money to make. But here's the thing about Deontay. I'm saying this not because I don't like Deontay or don't think he has a bright future. I'm saying it because I think he does, and I think a third fight can ruin that. Let me tell you what I mean. In boxing, the old adage is, one fighter knocks out another, he's going to do it in the rematch only quicker, right? Deontay Wilder is special, not just because he has a huge right hand, but because he has the self-belief and composure in the biggest moments to weather the storm and land that right hand every time, except in this last fight. He fought a guy 40 pounds bigger. It wasn't the 40 pounds suit he had on. It was the 40 pounds that Tyson had on him, right? 40 pounds bigger, a better boxer, the whole thing. That's not going to change. If Deontay and his team were serious about beating Fury, you take a tune-up fight first, get the confidence back, go through a training camp. You take a fight against a real big guy just to get that feeling. You take another fight against a guy who can fight. Now you've built all the way back up. Immediate rematches in the wake of a loss like that almost never turn out good.
Yeah, and boxing can't afford to have an immediate rematch that doesn't turn out good. I mean, so much momentum came from the first fight. They can lose all of that with a pitiful second one. We're going to keep taking your thoughts on LeBron. Where does LeBron stand in the MVP race? We got more of your take coming up. Plus, Leon Rose has been put in charge of the Knicks. Can he make things turn around to be rosy in New York? You'll hear what the panel thought. First, take your take on ESPN Radio. First, take your take on ESPN Radio. ESPN News, I'm Jason Fitz. If you missed the second hour of the show, go check it out on demand at the First Take Your Take podcast. Brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checking or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, NA member FDIC. We're asking you guys where LeBron stands in the MVP race. We'll get some of your take coming up in just a second. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Y'all are all over the place on where he belongs in the conversation. In the meantime, there's some conversation about the Knicks. They officially named Leon Rose the new president of basketball operations. Remember, Leon, the CAA agent, now turned a basketball aficionado. So the question is, can he turn around the Knicks? You know Stephen A. is going to have something to say about it when it's the Knicks.
As far as I'm concerned, Leon Rose got the job of the decade. Here's why. You can't lose because there is no more losing
than what we lose.
It can't be worse, meaning that's what I mean by that.
It can't be worse.
You go into the New York Knicks situation, all right? They're worth nearly $5 billion. Mm. You got a billionaire owner, which I'll leave to Max because I know where he's going, okay? And you're in a situation where if you're Leon Rose, do you realize if the New York Knicks, think about it, let's put this in perspective. All Leon Rose has to do is get the Knicks above 500 and they're in the Eastern Conference playoffs and we will look at him as a godsend. You realize that? That's how bad the Knicks have been. And so because of this, they're going on their seventh consecutive year missing the postseason. I think that Leon, with obviously World Wide West, William Wesley and others, facilitating getting guys to come to New York. The question is, are you going to be able to get cats to come? Remember, Carl Anthony Towns, he was representing Carl Anthony Towns, if I remember correctly, Devin Booker and guys like that.
If he
can get talent to come to New York, he will have succeeded. I'm gonna place my faith.
It's a new day.
In Leon Rose because I got faith in my boy West. Yeah. That's what I'm gonna say.
He's got a great last name.
You two suckers. We were sitting on this set talking about KD, Kyrie, free agency.
It always comes full circle.
I'm holding on to you. Right.
You got me. I'm not even going at Dolan right now. I'm going at Jaw. You know why?
Yeah.
These Knicks fans are the reason Dolan gets away with it all the time.
Yeah, you're right.
Because no matter what he does, this is a new day. Look, first let me say, Steve Stout approached me during the Wilder Fury fight, did not like some of the things we were saying, I'll speak for myself.
Yeah,
The point is, and I got nothing against,
You didn't do anything wrong.
I even like the way he handled it. I have nothing against Steve Stout. Good for him that he wants to help the Knicks, right? My beef is not with Steve Stout.
Mm-hmm.
Or with Leon Rose, or with anyone like that. If Leon Rose were to come on this show, not that Steve Stout was coming as an emissary for Dolan, but that's what it felt like to me originally.
I wasn't here that
right.
day, yeah.
But if Leon Rose came and I was under the impression that he was really like trying to spin for Dolan, he would get the same business. Like, it's nothing against Steve Stout, Leon Rose, anyone else. It's about Dolan and the fans who enable him. Guys, the problem starts at the top. Mm-hmm. How many regime turnovers have there been now coming in with goodwill and the best intentions and what winds up happening?
It's only up from here implies that it is up. We have no idea. It could just keep running in place for generations to Max's point. All right. First, take your take on ESPN Radio. We're asking you where LeBron James stands in the MVP race for you. Jeff in California, where do you have LeBron and why?
I think LeBron should take the MVP spot, considering the fact that he's this old. He's 35, putting up these numbers and running the Lakers team. It's not like the coach is telling LeBron how to run the team. LeBron knows this. LeBron's a veteran.
Well, thanks for the call. And look, I think his age plays into a huge part of this conversation. It's interesting to see if the Lakers help or hurt his cause, given AD's there too. Anson in Connecticut, where do you have LeBron in your MVP race and why?
So I've got LeBron second to Giannis, and for a couple reasons. I think that LeBron has AD, so, I mean, Giannis only has Middleton. You know, the supporting cast is not really the same. They're on pace for 70 wins, and Giannis is on pace to set the highest PER in the history of the NBA.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Thanks for the call. I mean, when you talk about what Giannis is doing, this is the biggest thing to me. I mean, Giannis last year was the MVP. Giannis is playing even better this year. And it's easy for everybody to simply attribute that to the Eastern Conference. I would challenge you to spend a little bit more time, honestly, watching the Eastern Conference right now. When you look up and down, it's a better conference than people wanted to give it credit for. It's a better conference than people thought it was going to be last summer. And I understand that the argument's easy to say, hey, the West is so much more stacked because there are some big brands on the West that are playing incredibly well. I understand that. But when you look at what you have in the East, you do have individual talent and teams that are playing incredibly well. Through all of that, Giannis has risen to a much higher level. Giannis has risen to a much higher level offensively. Giannis has continued to evolve his game, and the Bucks are unstoppable. There's a difference between beating the East and destroying the East, and there's a little bit of a college football mentality to this. So often we sit around and we say, hey, this team, be it Clemson, be it Alabama, hasn't played anybody, and because we haven't seen them play anybody, they must not be good. Well, no, it's possible that you can be beating up on teams that aren't as good as you and still be exceptional. That's where I think the Bucks are this year. Yes, they're better than the rest of the East, but the East is better than they're getting credit for. And conversely, when you look specifically at Giannis, you were looking at somebody that if you took him away from the Bucks, I think they're a fringe playoff team at best. When you put him on the Bucks, he's a player that's 25 years old, that's still developing, getting better every single day, and right now is flat out the best player in the NBA. I'm not sure where we put value in the MVP conversation, but whether it's the benefit to your team or whether it's who you are as the night in and night out every single day as a player, I'll take Giannis all day, every day. No disrespect to LeBron and what he's doing, but I don't think age should be a reason you're MVP. You're MVP if you're the best player, no matter what age you are, no matter what team you're on. It's First Take, Your Take. Will Cain going to come up next. He'll explain why Zion will never be better than LeBron. As always, you don't want to miss it. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio.